שום אימא, יש נדלת. שום אימא, שלושה שאוכלו על שולחן אחד, ולא אמרו לו בריטריה, כי אם לא אוכלו מזרחי מייס. Three that ate on one table, and there was no deleter said, it's the equivalent of eating from Zichay Mesim. Zichay Mesim is Zorom Choponos Kravir Zor, Shinemar, Ki Kol Shuchomais Mloa Kei Tzveya Bli Mokhe. Very descriptive pasuk, describing the Mizbechos of Avodah Zarah as full of the upper ends of the intestinal system in the upper and lower ends. So you have Blimokim. Blimokim, we'll see in a minute what that means. It was so full, totally full, right? That's all was there. The total. And I serve it. Service itself. Ki tzeya b'li mokhi. What exactly do you see in this pasuk? It's not talking about. What do you see that's talking about Misha? Ochlo shulchan echad lo yomul debiter. What exactly do you see from this pasuk that we'll have to see? But b'chol oifen, the situation of somebody three that ate in a shulchan is described as if chaymeitzim, which is brought this pasuk to give us a very detailed, in-depth understanding of what it means of chaymeitzim. Our shloish in the positive, shloish shalachol shulchan echad ve'omru v'vetoru, ki yivu ochro yivu shulchan shal mokim. Go to the other end of the spectrum, the other extreme, from zif chaymeitzim, yavu yav to shulchan shal mokim. Shenehma, ve'davu elai zeh shulchan shal lifnei Hashem. Of the manifesto that a shulchan, it's talking about the mizbeach. The mizbeach is called the shulchan. The mizbeach is called the shulchan. We're learning a relationship between mizbeach and shulchan, and the shulchan can be considered Hashem b'nei Hashem. The problems of the Mishnah. Besides the relationship between the ideas and the psukim, is that we have to understand this comes directly after last week's Mishnah. No space in them. I'm directly continuation. Last week was not 2 and 1. And this week, we have to get to 3. Because this has to be some significance of that. True, you count 1, 2, 3, so after 2 comes 3, but that doesn't quite. The idea of shulchan. Before we're talking about shneim sheyoshu, rois can be the writer shneim v'neim. Now you need 3, and omelot the writer. We have very often Mishnayos, and here also we have the problem of the extremes. The extremes. In the name of Vitaya, so we go to the most awful description of the in the marshal, the nimshal, both in the marshal of what Avodah Zarah, the nimshal being like Avodah Zarah. What do you want? Avodah Zarah come in here? Sacha called the Avodah that he did. He learned all that. He's learning all that. I was taking a break and eating lunch. Talking about baseball. When is Avodah Zarah get here? True, it says Ki'ilu. It's a little slightly easier language. It's only similar to Avodah Zarah. When it said it's a negative Avodah Zarah. Thank you. It really made me feel happy. But a very descriptive necessity of getting into the details of the disgust and the Lashon Nekiyah. It's one of the Yesodos of Divrei Torah. Here, both the Pasuk and the Mishnah find it necessary to describe in the most negative language possible, the most lacking of Lashon Nekiyah that could possibly be. I'm describing the disgusting of the situation, and the portion explained on the Tzoya wouldn't be sufficient, right? Because Tzoya, as disgusting as it may be, but it's still natural. It's still part of the regular Sidre, my situation, so the Sidre Adam. It's not enough. We have to add Ki Tzoya. Ki is the regurgitation that comes out of a non- regular, unnatural sickness situation. It has to be the most down to the details of the worst of the worst. So he didn't say the Ritayu. And if he did say the Ritayu, so where does he go up to? There's no middle grounds. I can't I have to either eat by the Zohar or eat by the Mishnah. I can't eat by myself. I can't eat by myself. What? I would say that instead, the Echanami, and that's the type of truth, there is a middle ground. So there seems to be a requirement to feel here. That when you don't have the three, so it could be a possible when you have the three b'chol eifin, you got to be either in Gan Eden or Gehenna. This is a very common occurrence in Chazal, but each time again it needs some understanding, explanation. Why? The Chazal, this is the way it is with Chazal. Kishim oylem oylem ha'ne shavayim, kishim yod yodem ha'ne olas. It's either fanatics. What they do is just an extreme. If they go up, they go up. Bonin b'mokoy. If they go down, ki yu alchem zifchem is. What's the difference between this Mishnah and the Mishnah that we learned before? Is that you have different descriptions of the positive and the negative. And the severity that we have over here is what's between the two and the three. A little cooler, right? That's that mamish? Funky. What are they doing different than we had in the last year? Last year we were talking about the people who could be a mokum. Yoishli. She Yoishli. And we're talking about the yeshiva that's Moshe Fleitzer. Or it's the Shrina Benem, Shura Benem. It's mokum. Yoishli Vaiski Divita, Shrina Shura Benem. So there you had two in Hashmi Shuri B'nai'im. Here, you have three. Kilo Ochlo Yishol Cholo Shol Mokom. The fact that it's three, and that we see it's higher degrees, it would seem that this is more Shmini than both. Not before. And of course, I'll explain that that's the case. But before, the subject matter is unclear. What exactly? Before we had the Vitae, here we had the Vitae, but what is the subject? What is the Sukh here?
Before, though, we said it was a problem in Dibor. I mean, it was misuse of Dibor. Yes, there's a different misuse of the Nevada with the Yin. Maybe it's a problem in what they're doing before, versus what they're doing not so much in the number.
Okay. The subject matter here is a related but different subject. This is not directly the subject of the Torah. From the Tzavis, there's no Tzavis here. Instead of the Tzavis, we have the Zohar. The Tzavis, we found out. In Mishnah 4, we had the Tzavis and the Tzavis. And here, instead of the Tzavis and the Tzavis, we have the Zohar. Kiyu Avedas of the same. Everything's related. Everything's related, but it's different. It's different emphasis. This is a different concept that we're talking about over here. And you mentioned already, you got the point, it's clear that the significance of this Mishnah, the subject of the Mishnah, I think that we have to delve into a little bit more, is the subject of Shulchan, which is a specialized or advanced form of one of the particular natural activities of most creations called eating. On the Poshet level, so in truth, doing these things doesn't eat. On some level, we say eating doesn't apply to a doing, and we assume it doesn't apply to a ruchni. Only when the Malachim came to other people, so as Halacha knew the Malachim Shabbat accounts they had to eat, but Malachim Pashas, Malachim don't eat, doing don't eat. But Simeach, in a particular form, not such an obvious form, but there is a nourishment in Simeach, we're aware of, and the Chai, an animal, eats the Chai the same way a human being. But the specific Chidush of the process called eating, that is special. Yuchad, only by the Tzuras Odom. There are people that were born from Mother and Father, and were great grandsons of Adam Rishon, but they're only on a Shulchan. There's not much difference between them. But Tzuras Odom eats on a Shulchan. A Shulchan. That's what you call Shulchan. You see the emphasis of the whole Mishnah is Shulchan. Another, these are going to be guidelines that are going to try to head us into some area of understanding. That's where we tap about to try to figure out what's going on over here. So any signals, any signs that we can pick up, they'll give us directionals. We have to underline. So we have the idea of shulchan, shloshu shalchu, we need shloshu to explain. The achila, it's not just the achila, but also al shulchan. You'll see that throughout the whole Mishnah, everything is shulchan. Zichru meisim ki kol shulchonis. The mizbech of Avodah Zarah called shulchonis. The mizbech of Hashem, zeh shulchan asher lifnei Hashem. The mizbech of Hashem is called shulchan. The sugi of shulchan, our shulchan, could be either a shulchan of Avodah Zarah or a shulchan of Hashem. Thirdly, there's a concept over here that is mentioned twice in the Mishnah, both in positive and negative. On the surface reading, we kind of read over it, you can miss it very easily, but it has very significant understanding of Mishnah. Let's start from the positive. The Mishnah has a lot of names. It's a lot of ways that if you want to say the Mishnah, you can say that there's a lot of names that we can use. Shulchan Shal Mokon, Mokon is a specific term that needs to be understood and to know why it's used. The point that you can see that it's B'tafko over here, and its importance is that you see the pasuk that was brought in the negative, so Kikol Shulchanos Mleh Kei Vitzoyo, and the bottom line is B'li Mokim. So the Rebbe Yishlam is called Mokim, and the bottom line of the Rebbe Yishlam is that it's B'li Mokim. So there's a Sikhiya called Mokim that needs to, and anti-Mokim, that needs to be clarified what it is and what does it relate to the other parts of the Mishnah. So we have now, Baruch Hashem, a very disembered Mishnah. Okay. Chapter all pieces into little parts. No reason it is. The subject is the fourth one, and it's one that's beyond levels both in learning and in practice. But, Tayyip Lula Nitzach. Tayyip Lula Nitzach. Pek is information for a person to put his nose where it doesn't belong. There are a lot of places we have, Chazal, where people put their nose in very strange places. And you ask, well, what are you doing here? And the answer is, Tayyip Lula Nitzach. So then, that's a winning answer. You can't put up your hands. Wherever you go. If you can say Tayyip Lula Nitzach, so you win on that. That's hands down. Yeah, that's finished. Wherever. So we can also, you know, it's the areas that are a little bit behind us and a little bit above us. A little bit. But Tayyip Lula Nitzach, as you choose the mission, is the next one. So, okay. Very interesting, exhausty three times a day. Sugi is eating and it's talking about three. But it's an activity that human beings, in Chazal there were two sudas a day. There was a day suda, there was a night suda, but there was also kashachis. So it was a slightly different form than we have it today. And certainly the Americans have it, but the basic idea of a bite to start off the day, which is American corn bites, and then a day meal, which is different hours a day, depending on circumstances, and an evening meal. It's a seva chila of human beings. Right? Three times a day we daven, three times a day we eat. Davening, there's a lot of discussion about why you daven three times a day. So you talk about davening, it needs to be discussed. Avraham is yakar, negra korbonos. You see that anything that's done with such a consistency, you know, such an involvement, is essential to the pattern of the whole time. The equivalent, the Zeru Mezer, if I'll call that, not really Zeru Mezer because it's both of the tape, but of davening three times a day, there's this thing called eating that you really, really should think about it. It's an awfully weird thing to do. It's really a weird thing to do. Person's a human being. It's a human being. So, there's where we live in a hierarchy, right? There's Leimei, Tzimeya, Chai, Medaber. Let's put it up. Okay, let's say, on the, just in the surface level, so above our Odom is a Malach. When's the last time you saw Malach in an Odom? It's a ridiculous idea. You mean a Malach in an Odom? What is a Malach at the bottom for? What does Malach gain by bringing into him an Olam? And the truth of the matter is the opposite. The Olam Be'etzim is higher than a Malach. But on the surface, on the Ruach Nistika level, the Malach is higher than the Olam. But it's a ridiculous thing. I mean, forget about talking about how it can be done, but why take something lower than you and bring it in and internalize it? What kind of word? What activity is a very strange activity? The only reason why we do it is for two main reasons. Number one is that we used to it from an extremely early age. It's the, and the psychologists get carried away with this kind of thing. But there's truth to it. That it is the most basic being. Everything is based on its starting point. And the human organism starts its growth process in the world through the mouth. That's eating. And the child, the baby, identifies everything through the mouth. That's its reality essentially around the mouth. Anything you put in its hands goes in the mouth. But because the central point of reality point where it comes in, it has its strongest sense of reality of contact to the outside world at that point is the mouth. That's the most original because of food. Right? Therefore, whatever you put in hand goes into the mouth. The hand itself goes into the mouth. then it runs hands, and then it runs feet. It's a system.
Fecal.
So it's very, it started a long time ago. Started, you know, very early in on the very basics, the most basic human activity. Step one, what does human being do? It's the first thing, you cry first thing. What? Yeah, but eating was the first constructive activity that a human being does. And generally, once you get started, so since we're so used to it, it's so ingrained to us that this is a normal activity, so we kind of find it very, very difficult to imagine that it doesn't really have to be that way. And that there's a thing called the finished, that's all over, and then you don't need it anymore. In fact, we see that you don't need it anymore there, so we see that this is a part of the structure of Olam Hazeh. It needs to be defined and understood under the auspices of what Olam Hazeh is all about, but not what the essence of a human being is all about. If it would be part of the essence of what a human being is all about, then it would be a little harder also, because maybe human beings are all harder also. Maybe a higher quality human being may develop a different type. But it's the same human being. It's not going to be somebody else. It's going to be us there, hopefully. Right? It's going to be well, hopefully. It's one thing is that you can't leave up the chance. You must make it there. Everything else is best. If you don't make it there, you don't have it like that. Forget it. That doesn't matter. It's a good wish, right? Get the energy. The other reason why people are involved to save it in this very strange process is because there's the combination of hunger and appetite that's very physical, spiritual, emotional, and you break down into all kinds of subparts of that need to be moved. So because they have all everybody does it, so it's not. If everybody would stick cats into their ears, so they would think that's natural to walk around with cats. I mean, it's any month now, we don't go out with the carrot style. Don't. All you have to do is say such an idea, it becomes a style. Don't. I'm just joking. I mean, it's okay. You can keep the carrots out of the ears. It would be very good. Well, yeah, that was another change. But, so think about it. Taking dreaming, chai, daber. There are those, evil, craving nefesh. When they get to the chai part of it, they get a little, my babies realize that Ophi is something she met. I don't know what Queen Bavar meant. Okay. I thought it was very funny. And it was a really high life happy cooking man. Well, they get a little bit of something, I think, so maybe it shouldn't be something met. Maybe it's something not right about it or something like that. Okay. Well, so man, it's also, it's also called a line. It's not called a line. Maybe you shouldn't eat that either. So you shouldn't live, so you can get very confused with these issues. But that's not the point right now. The point before even that we have to understand is that something so simple and basic as eating is really, really, really strange. If you think about it objectively and clearly, we can stand back, land from Mars. Right? We're coming from someplace where they don't have this. And people, their physical activities that they're involved with, physical activities that they're involved with, and every couple of hours everything stops. Lunchroom. And it was very strange activity. It's like all these things. What does it do? What are you doing? What are you doing?
I used to rather look in the see where the F is. That
that's why you asked me that.
Besides, it's a habit. You know, it's a habit.
Sure, for sure. I said before, I included that in hunger and appetite. A bad night that you said, what is some step? I always meant to continue eating. Don't stop. Yeah? It was kind of the plan. But what we have to understand here, there are a lot of things that we're so used to that we have to stand back and hear the strangeness of it, to hear that it was intended, that there's something special going on up there. There's something of importance. If you come along and you tell somebody one day, you know, it's raining. Yeah, and what happened? And this water comes down. Yeah. So, listen, I don't have time now. I think we're busy talking about the weather. Because I'll stand back. For example, when the pools can show me, when the pools can turn down. And we get into rain. Why? Because all these assumptions, I see that. Rabbi, the sugi of rain, the sugi of rain is all part of one. All major sugi, because the major importance of rain is that it's the source of food. And food is important because you eat it. And that's where it all ends up. Okay, but then, the Mishnah also describes where the final stage is. Okay. Where it all ends up, so what's the purpose? So, you know, true. Now the Bnei Yisrael created us in such a miserably low form that we can't live from today to tomorrow unless I put carrots down my mouth. Right? Instead of putting in my ear and putting down my mouth carrots and dead chickens and, and salt and minerals and all the things I eat on a daily basis. And 3 times a day. A couple stacks in the middle. It's like, can't you take a pill in the morning and tomorrow, once a month, we'll go and we'll do this thing. It's not, I guess it's once a year, I mean, every day.
What? Sometimes. There's some faster. Purple like there is. It's coming for you.
Yeah. 3 times a day, I mean, like, that's such. Mitzvah Ruchim Satfilah, which is another thing, that's 3 times a day. Vast discussions describe why this is the backbone of the of our existence and existence. Our whole day travels around it 3 times a day too. But we have to see that there was something particularly intended over here, and there's something that's really special and needs to be understood, given its proper due respect.
This is special talk about you all kinds of
things. There is no relationship at all to what the object that's being eaten is. It's like you're eating. Which one should you ask you have in your head and which you want to eat? Because of what book you read or because of what type of taste buds you have, it's not significant to the discussion. You want to eat pies, you want to eat.
There's no kesher at all between the what's common in food, what's common in a brother.
That's a subject of chokhmah. It's not totally a new
policy.
No, nothing. No. It's not the subject. The subject is eating. The shachuch, our shachuch. But it is significant is they have to be eating on a table. At a table. At a table of the Lord. Right. some forms of the table. The table is mentioned three times in the Mishnah. So that, Moshe also has a table, there's two tables. His Berach is called a table, that's what we're running over there. And he had a Shulchan Shulchan, besides his Berach, which is called a Shulchan. But there was a Shulchan, a few parmesh table, and it had bread on it. But there was an idea of Shulchan. So Kele HaMikdash of Shulchan. What's the necessity? What's the I mean, now it's true. We're created in such a fragile form that if we don't put gas into this machine, children can see this machine in an hour. If you wait a half an hour after lunchtime, the behavior patterns of a child will change drastically. So that's what happens when he runs out of gas. Put in the food, it becomes a match again. Well, now, if you say this of Chino, to have the noise, the kid's acting out, he's hungry. Feed him. Give him food, water, and then fill up the tank. Doesn't work always. There are other problems. You could be tired. You could have teeth coming in. A lot of different things. But the one, the hours, whenever you see strange behavior, even if you didn't think so, check, maybe it's hungry. Because, that's the same thing for adults. It's a secret to a rafa.
Three babies are together. So they're not to speak words of different tone. So there's two, obviously two functions here with the food. There's when you do it together socially somehow at a table, some kind of a voter with it or something. And then there's because she needed to stay alive. This baby doesn't have the chiyuv, right? It's on the table. The three kids not able to. Right? It doesn't have to. And yet it's not on the Zohar when the three babies sitting at the table eating. Right? So it has to be at a point where it functions for our benefit, something where we do
something. When it's eating, then it's correctly marked. Everything in human life just takes on a simple food form without a belief. And as a person grows up, so then it has the capability of serving to higher levels. The yusayit is the same. The majigit is up to the class.
But I still understand why you have three people sitting down in the chairs.
I didn't explain anything. That's all. The reason why you should understand. There's no difference.
Why do you need three people in carrots?
I didn't say in carrots, but after.
No, I know.
It's like in carrots and ears, they put it in the mouth. But it can be Pepsi and crackers. You need bread and salt. I mean, that's really not, that's not the substance. Well, generally, achila is bread. That's the basic form of achila. Lay alechem, that's one of the sodas that we learned in Chiu. Lay alechem, about the yichayolim, without it, they certainly had a chance, right? Lay alechem, about the yichayolim. But that's only how the basics. It's the back. It's not levada, it's not sufficient. The icky sort of that possible on the serious side is very Megiyah for our mission. And the Mephoshim bring on this mission, and he said, Lo Yalim Lechem Rari Chigi Odo. Elochem Ritzi Tavah Hashem Yichi Odo. Something that we started discussing last week, I believe, but this is the place where we have to discuss it in greater home. Every existence has a physical form, existence that we can see in front of us, as a something that can be tested in the laboratory and that can break it down to a certain level. But there is an internal existence which is the source of the real chiyus that exists even in a domain, certainly in higher levels of life, which is the divine ship. The divine Hashem that created the world and that is the constant source of chiyus of the world is the ruchnius existence of all items of existence in the world. Well, let me skip this step. Let's start one step back. We have this question. Why did the Bhagavan create such a form of existence and such a complicated... You think about what percentage of activity, human activity, revolves around the process of food. It comes very up near to 70%. Because much of what we do is in order to make a punasa, to prepare the food, to be able to buy the food, to have the kid, to be able to prepare the food, to buy the food, to clean up after the food, go out and finish it out. Even all the medical bills are also related very often. The whole, if you figure out, you find out that there's a majority of human activity, physical activity, after the kach, and in Chazal, the idea of having what's called panasa revolves mainly about the idea of food plus the idea of clothes. Like Yaakov Avinu said, lechem lechol veged lelbush. That's big stuff. That's, he said it all. The rest of it is just fringe baggage. But the aside of existence is lechem lechol plus lechem lechol veged lelbush. Veged lelbush is not a subject. But the whole even the panasa, the idea of that man not only doesn't exist on its own, it's not a self-centered existence, but is a, it doesn't have any key. So that's just man, the whole world. Man is the place where you can see everything that's clearly. And Bhagavan created Bhadavka, the world, in a way that it's fitting to its real reality, to its real relationship, to existence. Man is the prototype of all of existence. All of existence, there's a chiddush gadol that it can exist bichlal. That's a chiddush gadol. That was the biggest chiddush of the world. The biggest man being chiddush of the world was that the Rebbeinu allowed a capability for existence to exist. The something that only by chiddush, only by a special process, was allowed and able to come to creation. There's a danger that once it's created, it can forget its essence. And to think that it stands on its own. Now, say, thank you very much, you created me last year. Just like the person who made this table. So he made the table. I said, thank you very much, I paid it for you. And you go, oh, now it's my table, I don't know you anymore. All physical is what we make. But if we create something, we don't really create it. We just used the raw materials that we got from somewhere, we put them together, and then the carpenter goes home. But if we actually create something, every part of existence is only a derivative and an application of the Divine Hashem that allowed it to exist. And only as long, and to the degree that that Tavar Hashem continues to allow it to exist, does it exist. The Rebbeinu and the Chasdei, that we shouldn't get totally confused, and we shouldn't make the mistake, which even after all of it comes, many people made the mistake. You think, yeah, Eich Nami, they believe the Rebbeinu created the world. But then, yeah, that's it. He created the world and all goes on its own. Now it's able to self-exist. Now it's a self fulfilling prophecies, a self-centered, self-centered system that provides for itself. This is the Satan, the Makor, the majority of the Zohar. Majority of the Zohar, overwhelming majority of the Zohar, is Maim Be'etzim Be'elukus. Not only Be'elukus of the Elukus of the Avodah Zohar, but the Satan, the Banishim is a Makor Elukim. And the news is, above all of the Zohars, there's the source, the Banish of. But they have all of these funny theories why you can't deal with that, why it's too high, it's the guy who left, he went home, it's not involved, whatever it is, and therefore you have to involve yourself with something else, some other result. But now there's a self-fulfilling system that pulled the Vaishnam out. The Vaishnam stepped out of the process. The Vaishnam Bechaz, though, to make this mistake a little bit more difficult to come to and to realize the fragility of existence. Not only as a Muslim reminder, gives a, really every time a person has to eat, he should sit in the corner, cover up his head with a blanket, and turn red from Rusha. What's he do? Mr. Greatness. What to see what happens to Mr. Greatness? We don't give him his lolly, his lachmaniyate. Let's see what he looks like tomorrow. When you think you're really a big man, you can run the world and do all kinds of big things. Let's see what you're going to do with our glass of milk. You are, people say it to me, you are what you eat. Now, that's not the discussion. The point is only that my essence of existence is dependent on something outside of me and lower than me. First of all, just on the muscle level, and just on a simple put you in place. It's no guy really like you have to get it. There's really no place for it. Listen, that is such fragile existence that some people are more sensitive than others. I'm very sensitive. In a few hours, I don't have food. You can see that. Watch out. Start wilting. You can't function properly. Some people take a day. Big burden takes 3 days. But that's it. Everybody has the question of how fragile their goof is. But everybody realizes how intrinsically we are critically dependent on constant growth. The significance of it, not only as a way I would tap on the back, a reminder of who you are, is that this is a essence of what we are. This is a to teach us. Teach us the side of existence. Shulchan. What is it? Shulchan per se? We just start eating first. Eating is the process of nourishment. The Bereshit created man in the form of his reality, the form of basic reality. The whole world is this way. Man is the center of reality, and he was brought into a central form, the essence of this world. Just like all of the world, all of existence is constantly only existing to the degree that there is a constant input of chivs, call it energy, call it whatever you want. But it's not a static. It's not a static existence. Nowadays, the physicists and the scientists have gotten very, very close to the point of realizing that they call it matter and energy. I think they've gotten beyond that really, but they've realized that matter and energy are so interrelated that it's basically just a question of what level you want to talk about. And then you go to the next level of understanding and you find out that reality, matter, energy, we're all like an electric circuit. An electric circuit has to have a constant source, right? The shnia, that the source is no longer pouring out, then it ceases to exist. It's not that it stops, it runs down. It's over. It's finished. It only exists as much as it has its constant drawing from the source. I think even the scientists are not up. I don't know, but I think that even the scientists are come very, very close to realization. The whole reality is a gal. This is a remember we figured all out a long time ago. Reality is a gal. A gal goes round and round and round. So there's a mistake. There's a mockum to think that it just goes round and round and round and round. Get along with all of you. It says it's very nice. Round and round and round. But who's turning it around? Can't turn it around on its own. So somebody's turning it around. This is just the words that Chazal used to package something that's on the one hand extremely simple, on the other hand extremely deep to realize in this type of words that Chazal used. The simple, simple understanding, Poshet, is that nothing exists on its own. There's no thing even after creation. Nothing exists as an Uvda, Shalmedlaat. Everything is not only was created, but everything is a constant, constant creation. Mechadish b'chol yom tov and ma'aseh bereishis. Process of ma'aseh bereishis is not a one-time thing, but it's a constant daily process. On the simple level, starting off with right, so nourishment, the necessity of the bunch reminds us three times a day. You remember that you're mortal, remember that you're finite, remember that you're fragile, that you do not stand on your own. You do not have your own internal honest existence, but you're based on a constant source. You're based on a constant refilling of the energy packs, putting in the fuel. You need a constant source of existence. Maybe we'll go for a moment now to the name given to the Ben Yishlam here. So this is the concept we're discussing. The Ben Yishlam is called Mokrim. Mokrim. It's a very difficult concept, a complicated concept, but the simplicity of it is sufficient for us right now that nothing can exist, just as nothing can exist internalized, at its source of existence, nothing can exist without, first let's take it simple. You want to say this exists. If this exists, this can exist, then it must be by definition that it has a place that exists in. You cannot describe to me, imagine, or contemplate. There cannot be such a conceivement of reality of something that you say that exists, but doesn't have a relationship to place. The scientists described this, if I remember in my high school properly, this is part of the definition of reality, of matter. And this is somewhat, has a way to take up place. And something like that. Not bad for scientists. When they got to energy, they got confused. They thought that that's the difference between matter and energy. Now they think that that got to the point that they realize that these rates are the same quality thing. We'll use a more simplified form of the definition of Mokrim to hear it clearer, not getting into all the depths of it. Mokrim, the concept of Mokrim, of place, is the assurance that exists. Before something can exist, there has to be created the possibility of its existence. That possibility of its existence is the place where that existence is built. Not only is it the place, the source, that enables the original existence of the thing, but it's also the source of the continuum of that existence. We talk about physical place, so this table is the place of this can. The can has no intrinsic relationship to the table. Right now, it could be on this table, probably on the third table, it could be on a different place, it could be on the floor. Right now, it has to be sitting on this place. But now, we're talking about place in the most lowest form. Just right now, relative to this can, so it's true that the place is there. Actually, the air is on the table. We'll call it that. This is only a muscle for the basic concept of Mokrim. Mokrim means that the Ribbono Shel before creation, to the degree that we're not talking about creation, is here and everywhere. It's total. So where is the possibility for any existence? So this is really serious for me to know that there isn't. Because man at the revelation is Nisgal. Begiru Yehuda Hamalei, Hapshuta, and Nisafi. So the revelation is everything, as anything else. And the source of existence, the original step one, the whole process was, and this is in general, or this is individual for every particular form of existence, so we can create existence. The revelation of suddenly carved out a mocker. We don't know how to describe these things, we don't know how to discuss them, we just have to understand them from the end backwards. Now we see that existence does exist. Obviously, the revelation prepared Kaviyoko himself in a way, hid himself, whatever word that you want to use, created within his unending existence, Mokin, meaning the possibility of some other existence to exist. Since that's the only possibility of existence, it's not just that the mutual liberation decided to create such existence that need constant input of energy, but he could have made a table the same way God makes a table. We assert that it has to be that way. The reason why, by the revelation, everything must be constant in creation, because creation is a constant finish. When man, when a carpenter makes a table, there's no finish in that whatsoever. The word existed before the nail, because before you didn't put them together. No, you changed form. We can do form. There's one that form. Not that. We pat him on the back, we give him $10, we send him home. Now the table went here, and now we create a relationship. It's like $250. The creation itself had no beetsification, therefore it has no reason to beetsify why it has. By the revelation, the etzim capability that there should be other existence is a constant chidush and a expression of a specific etzim of the revelation. This koyach, how can something exist? The bottom line of this is because that's what the revelation wants. And the Rotsa Hashem, when it's Yotze, the foil, it's called Dibur. It's like when we have it and we have a Rotsa, so our first form of expression of that Rotsa is speech. But our speech doesn't create. Hashem, Shemayim Noah, so the version of speech is even Snachshava, but certainly his speech creates. It means that when his Rotsa is expressed, that is the existence itself. The rotzon that allows for existence to exist is called mokar. When we're talking about that concept of the revelation of enabling existence, rotzon lahetiv b'reisa. We have to have b'reisa for that. So the rotzon lahetiv b'reisa includes within it the capability. The Baishu Kalchariyoho is capable of everything. So he's capable of, as it were, limiting his atom existence such that it enables all the rest of existence to exist. All lower forms of existence to exist. But the Baishu didn't go anywhere. He didn't go home. He didn't leave that place. It's, as it were, there was a constant rotsay that's holding back the revelation from being a scholar in his full force, which enables constantly existence to exist. This is the source of existence. What do we need all this? What is the, this concept is referred to as mokar. This is referred to as mokar. The revelation created man specifically that he should represent, that is, he should be the existence of, in miniature, of what the whole world is, in maximum. And therefore, the Rishon created a special relationship of the continuum of existence of a person to constant energy input. On the surface, this is called eating. Physical level, a person needs food, needs nourishment constantly, so they should be in this form. To fulfill out the picture a little bit, so we have to add in the oneness of that element, because that man is not just a guru, and it's not just a physical being. The person is a neshama or the guru. The chiddush ha'olam, the specific chiddush of Adam Hazeh, the chiddush of Adam in particular, is the combination of neshama and guru. Taking the highest level of ruchnius, higher than the level called neshama, the most physical of physical, probably, stuff. And joining it together in one existence. The Rebbeinu Shlom enabled not only existence to exist, but enabled the combination of these two extremes to exist in total harmony. The we say on a person drinks water, or anything that the lowest level of eating has the lowest level of bracha. Say brain of freshness. And that bracha we describe this concept in particular. Brain of freshness obviously has gone. Alkumashwa Rahi is the Nefeshkocha. Everything in the world has the capability of water, so the lowest, simplest forms of existence of food could be a source of chiyus, the nefesh also, and the nefesh koch, baruch, chay haivon. The Rebbeinu Shlom counter the second part of the concept of the Rishon called Mokon. By us, in the physical sense, so Mokon is lower than that that exists. One of the necessary requirements, secondary requirements of an item, is you can talk about the thing itself, and let's talk about where it is. Right now it's on the table. But the place is lower than the item. When we talk about Mokri reverse upstairs, the Olim Haruchi, in the higher form of understanding what Mokri means. So the Mokri is this, the enables the existence to exist, and it is the source of the fears of that that exists. It goes together. That process that allowed that outside of reverse could exist, also at the place where there is the connection between the Elyon and the Tachton, which in the final form means Boyotin. In the highest form is Boyotin. Chil Ha'olam, all of the Yeroyim, all of the Ha'olamim, is in the relationship of the Dover, the Mekonimoy. The Ha'olamis and the Mekonimoy Shal Ha'olam is the exact same relationship as the Ha'olam and the Chil Ha'olam. This is in the macro. In the micro, the Adam Kotten is the Neshama Nebuch. The Chiddush of eating, first on the simpler level, is that food not only is it necessary biologically, medically, however we got our chemistry, because that will explain what food does, but it's also on the end to the Neshama. Firstly, on a simple level. What happens? The if there's no roof. There's no leaves. Cannot stand the roof without them. We see from here, on a surface level, Allah has an understanding of this, how it works. But as Hakub Shat, this is something that's a goofy and sticky process that only the goofy is involved in. This is a process of Chibur Shalayah, that's Chibur Chayah Yavanim and Lerubah, Chibur of Nefesh and Ruf. That that keeps Ruf and Nefesh together is food. The deeper Ma'alcha, bringing on this Mishnah, explaining these concepts, is that the food itself, also, as we said before, everything in the world is Divine Hashem, Divine Hashem, Ve'yolech Mavari Yichli Olam, Yochom Ritzi Pi Hashem. The Pi Hashem is in the Lechem, that's the Lechem Golden Pi. In the Lechem, you have the Pi Hashem, you have the Ritzi Pi Hashem that's in the Lechem, you have the Ruchness of the Lechem, that is the existence of the Lechem. And if you call it this way, the Nefesh, the Guf, is Nizuim from the physicality of the Lechem. And then the Neshama is Nizuim from the Ruchness. But, all these are Hagdam, so it's not the Kiddush. Let's try. I said before, so we're going off into areas that are beyond us, but it's literature. The concept of Sholish is something that we've discussed probably around 3 times ago. More than once and twice. But the significance which particularly to this Mishnah, we have wherever we've had Sholish. The significance of Sholish is always, one, is significance Achdus in itself, without discussing any capability or possibility of breaking anything down. Usually relative to Avera Pabashim, or from the town, please don't be hard. Two, is always, Shnayim is, the word itself is poor. There was no singular to Shnayim. That's not the point. Shnayim is the source of the idea of Yidu. From one point, the Kudu, totality of existence in one existence portion, and break down 2 lines. You start off on the other one. Two lines go out on the enemy. A two-line system is one that the first, just any more that you have, is the greater the extremes of existence are going to be. Three is specific and special concepts that there is always in three. Is three is that craft that allows two to rejoin to one. And this is something we've probably mentioned very much. But what? I got to ten. That's nice. How do I do that? Let's stay at three. Okay? Three is the purpose of the mission. Three is for some reason.
He's got up to 5. He's probably got 7.
Three is my favorite thing. Three. Achdus has one is something that can only exist. Exists and only exists as a Rishon Shalom. Anybody wants to come and say the other are totally one, an absolute one, right? And not be the Rishon Shalom, that's the ultimate Rishon. Two, if you want to stay at that, it's also going to be the source of, major source of Rishon Shalom. You do the light and the dark, and two camps break down the world, because the passions of the world look around the world, one of the first readings around the world, and that this is a world of extremes. Every subject on any form, on any level that you want to talk about, on any, there's always extremes. Everything has an extremes. The Yesod of Torah is Shomash. Torah is that capability of combining the two and bringing them to one. The ultimate two that we have to deal with, the actual two, is Bari and Nivra. Or in the micro, Neshama and Guf. And the Yesod, the two possibilities of existence, is either they stand apart, and they stand be'etzem as separate, as two, or there has to be a capability of the concept of three that will enable their combining back and being a special form representative of one. The one that comes after two, that includes after all of Pchir, and after all of the period in the Gashem of the Mazir, Ashtur Shayachlis. That's the kind of three. Shlosh Shayachlis, the significance of three, is that they have the capability of being in Chibur, the meaning of Zimun, and most in running Kedusha, so you don't do it 10. But success is having a Kedusha policy. You always have to have a minion. You have the Birchus of Mozart, and a Hanami, a minion is different, special, much better, other than Parshim. But three, Zoom, three is a different. You get the food pension. Here we have it on the side of the healing convention, you see it on the side of the Birch of Mosul. Holy Fen, different parish. When we're talking about in the last mission, just the union of Divrei Torah on its own, then we don't need three. They were talking about two to get to the Chavrus. You can have Divrei Torah, you need two. We explained the difference between two and one. You can have Divrei Torah, you need two. One, you have Ace of the Torah, you have a different. But three, have the capability of existing as a group, as a chibur, as a unifying, taking parts of the unity and the zine. This one we have the three. Shlosha sha'ochlu al shulchan echad. Shlosha, they have the koyach of bringing koyaches together, the two opposites bringing, combining, it's the koyach of three. Sha'och, achila, has in it this process that emphasizes the dual existence of a human being and the dual possibility of understanding of how a person exists. Either Zivashkina or Amuzah. If a person delves into the difficulties, like we started doing before, of this very strange experience called being, and the form of existence that we are created on, that we need a constant nourishment, either simply on the eating level, or taking eating as a yisoid, as a muscle, if you want to call it a muscle, for all of existence, all of pranos in general, all of existence, that a person exists on a physical level, on a emotional level, on a spiritual level, constantly on a, as an interrelationship between people, everything is always, nothing is static. Everything is a constant process of movement, of interrelationship, of give and take, of nothing static anymore. Static is dead. Needs to be static.
Chayim is moving. This, that this is the source of existence, this is the, that's, this is the proper understanding, it's correct, that this is the chidush of what existence really is. On the surface, stupid. I mean, this is not off the result. This is just a fool, this is a person, a child. Hasn't yet delved in to see what existence looks like. So on the surface, you can think that life is static. I exist yesterday, I exist tomorrow, until something is going to come around, called a malach hamavos or a bullet, but sach hakol, until something happens, so I exist, that's a given. I exist, that's, on a stupid level, a child is a foolish level, so it seems that the world is static. And I'm very, 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 very surface, the world looks static, everything is the way it is. Question, brilliant question, lava. It's answered with the green answer, which, just to explain what that means is that the chat of kacha, the chat of kacha is that the world is static. So there's no cause and effect, there's no system, there's no interrelationship, it's just static, just the way it is. Take it, kacha is it. But the person goes beyond the surface, for good or for better, or for worse, will find that there's nothing static. The world is a constant, there's no, I mean, even as the scientists are arguing, realize that this doesn't move, right? It's sitting, right? It's a movement that goes on daily. The lowest form of high and feels. The extremely fast and complicated process of movement that go on once you break down the things a little bit below the surface, get down to the molecule level, the atom level, and everything is constant movement. And the power is that all that movement is almost an optical illusion that you're standing still. Or if you want to go less in the lower level, you want to go up to the other extreme, we're really all shooting through space at some point. They're very fast. Spinning around themselves, spinning around their sun, however you want to call it. And look where they're spinning. Not the movement that we're spinning as we sit around our chairs. It's constantly the point. At any level that you can go into life, at a physical level, any level of scientific level, on emotional level, on spiritual level, certainly. Physical, any level that you delve into life, a little below the surface, you immediately break down the static level of life, the world, everything is a constant process. That was too possible. How do you learn that? What does it mean? Why? What does it mean? What's the significance of the fact that we're not we'll call it one. The negative one is static. Or two. We're always going between two poles. We're going to be between the different extremes of the possibility. We're going through winter and summer, light and dark, hungry and full. The system is constant nourishment and reusing and using up the crevices and reviving the crevices. And at every level, you have this. What does this mean? There are only two ways to line it up. Either the result or the Vishnu. There's only two ways. And if you're on a stupid level, on a foolish level, you can get involved. I exist, Taka Gaman. Once you get below the surface, you see that the reality on every simple level, you see it right away. Once you get a little bit beyond the surface, everything is moving. Everything is a constant struggle. Everything is a constant relationship with the involvement. What's all this? What is it? What is it all? With some of them, it's easier. It's harder to come to, but it's easier to explain. Behemoth is that the constant movement, the constant struggle is because there is two basic forces that are in constant steel, And there's a third, that it's answers. You call it physical and spiritual, you call it neshama, you call it brave, you call it that, the incapability of existence giving the reality of what the Ben Shalom is, and the fact that b'chol if existence does exist. And a kofen, either one of them is a kofen. You have to know that the Ben Shalom Tzad Atzmi is such an existence doesn't allow existence to exist. At the same time, you have to know that existence really does exist. But some people make a mistake and think that the answer is you only don't have to believe. Really, that's awesome to be. There's no how we really exist. It's true. That we exist and that we are labeled, there should be physical things that halfway can take a place and have their own existence is real. This concept is chiddush, the shloish hamachaber called mokum that enables these two things to exist simultaneously. A person that is involved in the essence of the physical process that is a representative of this concept called the chiva has two choices. Either he has to realize that with the internalizing of the lower level, everyone uses lower level, we hope you're not human beings, right? But if we eat the dead turkey, or the dead wheat, or the salt, or whatever minerals, or whatever it is that either doing it so you have a hive, if you're putting it into your mouth, internalizing it, makes part of your cells, and your body, your body's made out of it. Or the nefesh also is fed by it. Either a person has the capability of recognizing that as the connection between body and nefesh, the name of the Mishkan, or the Hechayach has to chop out the connection. He has to recreate a state. We're secure, we're safe, something static. I know how to deal with it. This is here, that's there, that's there. Once all of the depths of any chokhmah that you deal with, the reason why most people have difficulty dealing with it is because it breaks down all of the security of the basic concept that we usually deal with. It breaks down the security of the simplicity of kacha. If there's no more kacha, I was having to say, either I'm forced, I can't believe kacha anymore. Either I have to go up to realize that when I eat lechem, I'm eating the Dvar Hashem, I'm in contact with Nen Tesoseh. Basically, eating bread, eating mud, and being Nen is in the Shekhina, just three forms of the same material. And so it says in Chazal. It's not that we're going to stop eating because for our back concept. We're just going to do it in a different higher form, the form that's been offered to us. New ground is called mud, or something. There is a skin that it became physical. So you can eat it, you can cook it, you can eat it. Okay. Bread, mud, and zivashkina are all the same basic essence of existence. Once you get out of kaha, you get out of I exist because I exist, but you realize that you're in a constant. You're in a constant. So either you lose your ground, you lose your so then I thought it was my own existence, then I found out that I don't have a place to stand on. The place itself is a constant chiddush that it exists. So you have one of two choices. Either you have to hang your hat on the virtue, you have to realize that you're in contact with Zivishkina, even through all of this physical process, or you have to stop this work. You gotta kill it. And the more dead you can make it, the better you be. All of the process of Rizor this, take all this out of it. How do I get rid of all these things? I mean, I can't just, well, nowadays you can just sit back, have a cigarette, forget it, and watch television program, and all the problems. But in old days, it wasn't so simple to do that. You have to relate to all of this. You have to explain it away somehow. You have to do something with it. Deal with it in a way that it will get you back to Taka. This is the process called the Vedasana. The specific process called the Vedasana that is described in Kiyo Tsoi, Puri Mokka. You have to do away with this Mokka idea. And they had to, you know what they have on them is Berach. Their food, by us, the food is brought up to Zivashkina, to be known as Zivashkina, by them, because they want to walk. The way of they solving the problem is that, you know what it is? Food is just a physical activity that ends up in ki, with soya, it shows up. But the concept behind it is that they can take all of this movement and explain why it's just a special, complex form of self-existence. Let me explain that just in a few sentences. What's the difference between Kirchi Reis and Yodi and Bowen Alter Yetchke? The basic idea is the same. It's just one is bigger fool than the other. The person who thinks that I exist because I exist, you know, who feeds me? I eat, you know, how I support myself. So the difference between him and the person who thinks that the sun supports him and the rain supports him is just a level of support. Especially how much wants to realize reality. If he wants to be totally stupid to him, he can just turn on the television program and say, take your aids and go, you'll say, I was there. And he really is, he said, and he is sorry. I made myself. How? I lay there. I don't have to explain that. But most people live that way. I don't have to explain that. And he even yes, he said, I made me. I don't explain that, but that's the way we say it's the same. More sophisticated form. Don't want to be so stupid. It's a thing called the Vedasana. It's a very nice process. It's really a nice trick. Works very well. And it takes all of the beauty and the complexity of the world and turns it into Tsoi. Puts it all around backwards. Just take it to its end result. Instead of defining up the process of food, of eating, by its realizing where it brings you to, what it's relating you to, take it down to its lowest final form. It's resultant, not only physically, but in the concept of it. And they say that all of the processing, all of these systems of the higher worlds and the lower worlds is a more glorious form. Kirkulation means that I can go to earth. Bowing down to the sun means that I can get the sun to go to earth. The sort of a really what? Yeah. I create, I have a wife, kids, and a guy. That's which list is in order. But it's one of the basic needs of human being. It's called religion as the ultimate masses, true state. On that level. The way I know that I'm not the whole circle. I see this whole circle. So I create, I describe for myself a system. A self-enveloping system that all comes back down to begin by me, as by me. And in the middle, I have this divinity that serves as a explanation of all of the complexity and the difficulties of the simple hints of Ka.
Which is all also a Hechod. Alayim la Dibri Teva. Dibri Teva is the essence, the purity of the process of the Ma'achet Elyon Tachton. Why specifically when a person eats chop? When a person eats supper? Chicken. Then? Chicken. Why do you have to say Teva? You give Teva in the Mishmash. I mean, better than. What's the significance of Dibri Teva al Shulchan? When a person recognizes that eating is part and the essence of the dependence of existence of the human being on the building, then he's in a matzah of Beis Medrash. He's a matzah of the planet of the Shekhinah. So the fulfillment of that matzah is the Divrei Torah is the essence of that matzah. It doesn't say you have a mitzvah be yotzei the Divrei Torah. What is a person doing in the Beis Medrash? He learns. Why? Because that's the essence of the reality of the whole. When a person is oichel with understanding of what a chila is, that's shulchan echad, that's lifnei Hashem, zeh ha-shulchan asher lifnei Hashem. So you will naturally be involved in the essence of that process called the Beit Torah. Don't be the Beit Torah. This is the essence of what a yid is. The Imroi, the other possibility is that he's going to be involved in destructing, in tearing out any value at all to the process of eating, to the point that it's also to have the great savior. He's involved in a very gross form of producing savior. Activity of he's a sewer machine. And you put it in here and you put it out there. But it's a gross physical activity which its purpose is self satisfaction, its purpose is fulfilling the feeling of self existence. Here, I got out of it as a thank you, but you did a job, good job. What you say is that the achila itself is an achila of tzoya. It is tzoya. There's no more to do it. It's also to be done with the tzoya. Therefore, on both sides, the halacha, there's a Talmud Chacham is not supposed to eat with Talmud. You can't have the eating is the vitae, it's gonna come with the vitae, you can't do that in a basic case. And forget, when the Talmud Chacham is purveyor of the Shulchan, so the Gemara says, by the Pasha Yis, Nenu Masudu Shal Talmud Chacham Oichol Boi, you are Oichol Zivishim. This is the Shulish of the Yisrael, Shulish of the Hagim, of the Rebbe Zim, and the Shulchan, and so on, that goes well, that comes from the Chazal. And glorified ideas, and so on, going, but there is Shulish, is in Chazal. Vada is no emes, emes v'yat. When you have the emes dekotamukho, which he is not in the process of tzoya, Adam, he's mafkia the tzoya the gamri, and it's none, it's his achilu, his achilu tohira, his shulchan hatoa, asher lifnei Hashem, it's kulei, anti tzoya, mafkia the tzoya kulei tayya. Then even the non-Talmud Chacham can move starve to that Shulchan, and he's learning his English. This is as much as I was able. This is it. I said, look, we're wishing into those things that are beyond us. It's a difficult mission, it's difficult concepts. Let's just make a sequel, as much as we take all out. That's very happy this mission. Not very much. What can we take out? If one nekuda that we can take out, recognizing the, even if we're not capable of living on a constant basis on this, we're not, 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 we're not But we learned to do the Torah. And we found out that even when the Holy, but the Torah exists, they exist eating, we are like we're meeting in all we learn. And we know that when we're eating, we're part of a process of coming in contact with Yiddish. That already is what it's in the Kudach base. Halavai, that we can come to enough of this understanding that the Divrei Torah al Shulchan shouldn't become as a disembered requirement that comes in from the side. Mishnah is teaching us that the Divrei Torah al Shulchan is not, well, you have to throw in some Ruchni Sakti here so we shouldn't get too Gashmir out. So, for instance, you have to say some Divrei Torah. Mishnah is telling you that it has to come from the opposite. If it's coming like that, then I don't know whether you're allowed to make it. Could be that it's better than nothing. Say you should do it anyway, but the idea is not, oh, yeah, that's right, so Shukunah, I have to learn Torah now. Let's say something. Yeah. A person from here, we have to hear that the Torah wants us, the physical, the eating, Shema.